You might just want to keep that passage open in front of you as we carefully look at it for a little while this morning. It's our special privilege to be able to open God's Word and share in it together. It's only a short little event there that we read about, and it's the small beginnings of something that would become huge. It can be a significant blessing sometimes to think on various things that have small beginnings and then proceed to grow and change over time. You might think of the example of a family, a typical family, or even the family you're part of, where the beginning is just two people. A man and a wife come together and they form a family of two. And then often children will start to come along. There's the first child, there's another child, and maybe more. And the children grow and they develop. And maybe there's another generation. And Christmas is a time when often pictures are taken of big family gatherings. And maybe right in the middle there, there's mum and dad. And they were the granddad and grandma, and the family has grown. Or you might think about a church congregation like ours, where about 95 years ago, when none of us were born, a group of people, a few families, met in a house in Warrenora Road, and they had a plan to start a church and find some land and build a building. And in the many years since then, many people have heard the gospel here from generations of faithful witnesses. Many people have come to faith in the Lord Jesus and gone on to serve him, both here and elsewhere, from that small beginning at a house in Warrenora Road. Now, J.C. Ryle calls this passage that we've just read together the very first beginnings of the Christian church. The Christian church that would grow across the world, from one nation to another, from one people group to another. So we have here today the first beginnings. Now, just a little bit of a review so far in this first chapter of this Gospel of John that we've been reading. We've met the man John the Baptist, and now we're meeting two of John's disciples, and we read of them having their first conversation with Jesus himself. And we've already heard in this chapter several different special names and titles that are given to the Lord Jesus. He's called the Word. He's called the True Light. He's called the Son of God. And in this passage, we encounter a new title, a new and very significant title. On the last two Sundays here, we've learnt a lot about this John the Baptist, the man sent from God, sent to be a witness concerning the light, the true light, who was coming into the world. 2 weeks ago, we saw John in an encounter with Jewish leaders who were challenging him and about who he was, and how he clearly stated, he said that he wasn't the Christ, someone greater than him was coming. And then last week, we read about how Jesus announced Jesus as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And also that he'd recognised that Jesus was shown to him to be the very Son of God. We can learn more, of course, about John the Baptist if you read in other parts of the Gospels. If you read Matthew, Mark and Luke, they all give a special place of importance to John and what he did and his ministry of preaching and baptising to prepare the people of Israel for the coming of the Lord. He was preaching and baptising in the desert of Judea. And Mark says that the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him. Confessing their sins, they were baptised by him in the Jordan River. And of course, John eventually baptised himself, even though he did it under protest. So just for this short account that we're looking at today, I've given us five headings to look through it. First one, two are prompted to see, hear and follow. We read there that the next day John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, "Look, the Lamb of God." And when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. These two men, these two disciples, they're described as John's disciples. So this meant that they weren't people who'd just come to listen to John, and maybe even not just to be baptised by John, but they'd done more than that. They wanted to hang around. They wanted to stay with John and learn from him. They were impressed by this man, by his powerful influence and his powerful message. They wanted to be with him. And we actually learn a bit later in the Bible that these two men, they weren't even locals. They weren't from Jerusalem. They weren't from Judea, where most of the crowds were coming from. They'd come from way up north. They came from Galilee. It would have taken them a few days to even travel to hear this man John, and then to commit to stay with him and to learn from him as his disciples. So we read there that on this day, these two men hear the words of John calling Jesus the Lamb of God. So they're prompted to follow Jesus. And we assume that John encouraged them to do that. He didn't say, "Oh, no, no, stay with me." He was happy to see them go. And we see that one of them is named in the passage there. He's named as Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And the other one is not named, but it's clearly John, the author of this gospel, who of course became one of Jesus' closest disciples. And so for whatever reason, when John speaks about himself in his gospel, he doesn't name himself. He talks about the disciple or general terms like that. So whatever the reason is, but we know that this man is John himself. Number two, the two are invited to come as they follow. So from verse 38, turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was the 10th hour, it said in our reading. Jesus turns around, sees these men, and here's John for the first time recording actual words of Jesus. And he says, "What do you want?" And we think he means, "What are you seeking? What are you looking for?" And they answer, "Rabbi, where are you staying?" And I think they're meaning, "Can we come with you? Can we follow you?" And Jesus gives that kind reply, "Come and you will see." He invites them to come with him. So they went, they saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him, it says. For John, it was such a memorable day, he even remembers the exact time and records it in his gospel. And what amazing things must have been discussed that day. We can only speculate about everything they said, but this was, of course, the very beginning of a long period of 3 years that John and Andrew and others would be constantly with our Lord and discussing and observing and learning with him. Number three, their first spark of understanding. Reading again from verse 39 now. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is, the Christ. There are times in the Gospels when we have very detailed accounts of conversations. If you were to flick over to chapter 3, you could read a long conversation that the Lord Jesus had with Nicodemus. You go to the next chapter in chapter 4 and he had a long conversation with a woman of Samaria. And we benefit from that. But this is one of those times when we're told about something that happened, but there's not much detail. I'm sure the Lord gives us what we need to know. But they had this. These two disciples spend an extended time with our Lord, and they have a deep and meaningful interaction, I would say. And yet, we have nothing recorded about what actually was said. How do we know it was deep and meaningful? By Andrew's response. The response of his words and the response of his action. He urgently needs to find his brother, Simon. And when he does find him, he blurts out this huge announcement, "We have found the Messiah." And what a profound and exciting thing that is for a Jew of his day to say. The Jews of that day who believed in their scriptures were always expecting the coming of a special person who would be called the Messiah, the Anointed One, the coming King, the one who would be sent from God to save his people, the one who would take the throne of his forefather King David and rule over an eternal kingdom in peace and righteousness. So very quickly, from one day's conversation, Andrew's convinced that this man, he is the promised one, the one that his nation had been waiting for centuries. And we know that he and the other disciples of Jesus would still have a great deal to learn. But here on that first day, this first spark of understanding, and that first spark led him to commit himself to Jesus for the rest of his life. And that spark stirred him to urgently seek out his brother Simon. So number four, they share the excitement. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," and he brought him to Jesus. Now, sometimes brothers in a family can be very competitive, can't they? They can be very annoying to each other. They can often be very disparaging of each other or hurtful. But the psalmist David says some lovely words. He says, "How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity." That's in Psalm 133. "For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore." Andrew this day blessed his brother hugely by bringing him to Jesus. And we in turn are greatly blessed by that. Peter was the one, of course, who was to become the leading disciple of the 12. He was to become the key person in those early exciting days of the Christian church, the Christian church that would spread around the world. So a big thing that Peter is introduced to Jesus. And in the way of a personal testimony, I can say that I've been personally blessed by having two brothers, both older than me, and they profess faith and determined to live as Christians long before I had any interest in the gospel of God. But by their personal witness, by their encouragement to me and by their lives, they certainly played an important part in my realisation that I needed to come to Jesus. And perhaps there are some of you here that you've had a similar influence in your family, that you've introduced people to following Jesus. Or perhaps you're one of those who've been influenced by a family member and encouraged and stirred to follow Jesus because of their witness. And we can praise God for every time that happens in a family. Number five, a future transformation predicted. And this is just in our final verse. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. So this first snippet, a little snippet of the first meeting, Simon Peter and the Lord Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas." And John explains, of course, that Cephas is the Aramaic name, the local language, and Peter is the same name in the Greek language. And both of them mean rock. Now, this is not just Jesus giving Peter a new nickname. It's not that he just looks at this man and says, oh, you look like a rough, tough sort of guy. We'll call you Rocky. No, it wasn't that at all. This is a prediction. This is a prediction of the plans he has for Peter. It's a prediction of the transformation that God would work in Peter. And it's a prediction of the part that Peter would play in the spread of the gospel and the growth of the church. You may not realise there are only two times that we ever read of Jesus speaking to Peter and calling him by that name, Peter. He always calls him Simon. He doesn't use that name, Peter. He calls him Simon. That's his name. And even at the very end, you might remember, of the gospel, when Jesus had risen from the dead, and he was commissioning his disciples, and he says, and he's telling Peter he wants him to feed my sheep. What he says to him, he says, Simon, do you love me? The actual only occasion that we do, the other occasion that we read in the Gospels, that Jesus calls him Peter, it's in Matthew 16. And it's when Jesus is asking his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they had a few suggestions. And then the Lord said, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? And Peter's famous confession is recorded there. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, we've already read on that very first day, Andrew had said that. He said, this is the Christ, this is the Messiah. But, of course, by now, by this time, these men have been with Jesus for a long time, observing and learning and been at close quarters. So that first announcement of Andrew has become a deep God-given conviction. And Peter states, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's effectively saying, Lord, we've been with you long enough now. We're fully convinced. There's no doubt you are the Christ. And this is when the Lord calls him Peter. Our Lord says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. But even then, the Lord still had, as you know, a great work to do in Peter's life. We know that when later Jesus was arrested and put on trial, Peter, a fierce follower of Jesus, denied that he even knew the Lord Jesus. What a catastrophe. But then after Jesus had been crucified and had risen from the dead, our Lord met with the 11 various times. He commissioned them to preach the gospel and told them, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And if you dip into Acts and continue to read it, from then on, Peter is always called Peter. That's when he takes that name that the Lord has given him. And he boldly, we read about him boldly declaring to the crowds in Jerusalem, because he was effectively the leader of their group. And he boldly declared that this man Jesus, who had been crucified, has been raised from the dead, and that God had made him both Lord and Christ. And throughout the rest of the book of the Acts, as I said, Peter's always called Peter, and we now just call him Peter. We don't call him Simon anymore. And through him and the growing number of disciples witnessing about Jesus, our Lord was fulfilling that prediction. You will be called Peter. You will be the rock. Just a few thoughts, perhaps, that you can take away from having looked at this passage today. Firstly, if you're counted as a member of Christ's church, which is built on the foundation of the prophets and apostles, you can be extremely grateful for what happened that day when these first apostles were invited by our Lord to come and see It was the beginning of something huge. And we read in Ephesians 2, there's a passage that maybe will go up on the screen, and we read it at the beginning of the service. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. So I count it a joy and a privilege that we're part of that huge church of God throughout the world. But perhaps today you don't. You might be someone who don't yet consider yourself to be a member of God's true church. Perhaps for a moment you could just put yourself in the position of those two men, Andrew and John. They'd been pointed to Jesus, the Lamb of God. They followed him, and it transformed their whole lives. And just as the Lord said to them, come and see, he still says, come to me, and I will give you rest. And the Lord also says, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. I'd urge you today to follow Jesus as those two men did and say to him, where are you staying? I want to know more about you. Let's just pray together. Father, we praise you that you give us these amazing records that show us personalities and show us the wonder of the Lord Jesus. And we thank you that you take mere human beings and you transform them. You welcome them into your church when they love and trust you. You are gracious, and you are still building your church, and you are still inviting people to follow you. We thank you for your kind invitation. Father, those who are following you praise and worship you and rejoice in you. Father, we pray for those who have not yet taken that step. We pray, Lord, that you will move in people's hearts today to consider Jesus, the Christ, the Son of the living God, and determine to know more about him and even to follow him and submit to him. We bring you our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.